to Jeff Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good to be with you. Hope you're hanging in on a Monday. Woo! 3:30 kickoff for Florida State this weekend in what will prove to be a very, very important game for Mike Norvell and this staff. Hard to wrap your mind around the idea that they could be 0-3 after this weekend. Could very well be. I suspect that they're going to go play well. Now, the caveat being after a humiliating moment in time, one that could bear the fruits of negativity, disconnect, anger, disbelief, that maybe you see a team go and absolutely go through the motions, and then you know it's over. You know the season's over, grand opening, grand closing, and you know that Mike Norvell's in trouble. You know, I was talking about, and I don't mean for to be fired at the end of the year, because that's not going to happen, but I would tell you that, we and I said it last hour, they're at a crossroads now, and it really was unnecessary, but it doesn't matter. It happened, and we went through it, and I gave you my thoughts on what that means, what that represents, how it happened, how embarrassing it is, and what a ugly moment for him as a coach and for this staff. You can't undo it. And we know from just normal fan reaction, after a upset loss or a devastating loss or an embarrassing, humiliating, however you want to describe it, loss, that's what we do. That's what everybody who talks about the games, the players and the coaches do, is spend a lot of time in the 48 hours, 72 hours after a game like that, discussing the many reasons it happened, how could it happen, what should happen now, who's at fault, who should be fired, who should be hired, what do we do now? They're not afforded that luxury. He has to, and I would love to have been a fly on the wall to hear what kind of honest dialogue has taken place between him, his coaches after this game, in those offices, and those players, whom they did not put in the best position to succeed on numerous occasions in this game. And players understand that. Players know. Players aren't fans of being the ones who are ruthlessly criticized after a poor schematic effort, a poor game plan, even in a game-ending situation like that where clearly the coaches failed them and they made mental and physical errors. It's tough if you're a kid to have to hear that over the next 48 hours, as they no doubt will and have. But is it enough to fracture the bonds that grew from the spring into the fall camp, into that locker room where day in and day out, the buy-in was there, obviously. The effort has been there, and we've seen this team look better at times. You know, I would tell you, defensively, Tom, the weirdest thing about this game is if you go back and look at just the numbers, purely look at the numbers, prior to the final two drives, and you can't dismiss them, but prior to those two drives, Florida State's defense did what they needed to do to provide the opportunity for the offense to pull away. The offense just never did. This is an offensive failure, this game. A miserable offensive failure.
With the cherry on top of an unbelievable and inexcusable call in the final play of the game, final two plays, really.
Yeah.
And that's where it stinks.
It is the cherry on top, indeed.
And it's a massive cherry. Mm. I mean, it's like the size of a water tower. And that's what stinks about this game is how many times did we say when the offense failed, be it, you know, the goal line situation where you call a fade on fourth and goal, or the many times we punted. Boy, I'm glad the defense is handling business tonight or we could really be in trouble. How many times did we say that? Quite a few. But by the end of the night, undid everything when it comes to Adam Fuller, who was having a nice couple of weeks against expectations and against the issues and the hot seat that we had for him in the offseason. It was going to be one of my topics on the postgame show that we were still getting late signals and there was late communication at the snap way too often for a game plan that should have been vanilla. And that's what this game plan should have been, and to a degree it really was. But that would have been underneath the surface, which is, hey, all right, spirited, physical, together efforts out of the defense 2 weeks in a row. Instead, now you're asking fundamental questions across the board.
Well, one of which is how in the world are you in that formation? I still I mean, in a million years, you wouldn't be able to explain how we were in that formation.
Two men under.
It's crazy to think about.
That's what he said in the day.
Well, that's what he said. And even if you think he's wrong or that he was hiding the fact that they were in an even worse coverage, which is the one robber, which I have not seen the All-22, so I don't know.
On the penultimate play, I suspect maybe that's what happened. But it's hard. That ACC network broadcast is terrible. A travesty.
Hey, by the way, as an aside, God dog it. That network is an embarrassment to networks everywhere. Okay. What are we doing?
So I won't get as fired up about it as I did in the moments after the game.
It's unwatchable. It's unwatchable.
But everything about that experience Saturday night, if you weren't in the stands, and if you were, that was your own special brand of hell, was why it's horrible to be a Florida State football fan in 2021. Because you have you can't assume anything about any opponent, and we get taught that lesson over and over again. Even though this one played out differently than Stanford and ULM, the result was worse somehow. The way the game is officiated with targeting, what is targeting, what isn't targeting, the over-involvement of these officials, and that guy got kicked out of the SEC and he sucks at his job.
Yeah.
And then you have the ACC network, which is its own brand of suck. And what really stinks about it, man, for me...
A special kind of suck.
I've got the app. It didn't even post on the home screen of the app until well after kickoff. I joined the game two plays in and I was searching for it for 20 minutes.
No, they struggle, man. They struggle. The broadcast team struggled. Everything about it is a toughie.
They replayed review for 2.5. Well, sorry, not replay review. They go to a TV timeout for 2.5 minutes anytime somebody has a cramp. That's what's wrong with college football today. So the officiating, the TV, our football program, in no particular order, we had to sit through that for a game that took 4 hours. It should have taken 3.25 at most. Everything about what sucks to be a college football fan and FSU fan reared its head on Saturday night. It was terrible.
I wonder, though, I will say this. I've gotten, because it happened again on Saturday across the country. This is not just our game, but I saw a lot of complaints again, and I witnessed a few moments where I thought, we really are finally going to have to address this targeting thing. We're really going to have to address this. For example, Penn State will be playing Auburn in what is one of the better games of the weekend coming up. And it's really commendable, by the way, that you have Auburn going to Beaver Stadium there and taking on Penn State in you know, an out-of-conference game. I mean, that's we're not at a neutral site nonsense money grab. You're going there. It's a wide-out, 107,000 people. That's going to be a lot of fun. But Penn State is going to be missing a pretty important player due to a targeting foul. And he'll be missing the first half. We're going to be missing a pretty important player due to a targeting foul. So I am kind of curious if at some point we're going to get a closer look at all this stuff and whether or not we're going to see some rules changes, because booting guys out of a game, booting guys out for a half on questionable calls, it's got to stop.
To follow up real quick, a little bit of breaking news, something you'd suspect because we talked about the two deep.
I brought it up in the first hour, yeah.
Dante Lucas was not on it. Well, a university spokesman has confirmed to War Chant that he is no longer part of the program.
Yeah,
and it went from he wasn't on the 2-deep, then he wasn't on the website. If you look at the numerical roster, and now there's confirmation. So one of your offensive linemen is gone.
Well, he had to go. I don't think it was there was any question. They didn't do it because of me, but I basically called for that at the beginning of the show. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing with that guy? It's absurd.
That determination was probably made sooner.
I think it was probably made like during the game.
We don't need to litigate all that just because it was breaking news. Sorry, we can get back to bashing the general game. And you know what's interesting is I thought that the McClendon force fumble, which turned this game on its head too,
was more of a target.
Yes, 100% it was.
Well, and by the way,
if you're going by that letter of the law, what ought to be. I'm saying by the letter of the law, you're going to toss Deloach and not McClendon?
Well, when I watched the play, I went, oh, boy. Under these Mickey Mouse rules, he's in trouble. I thought for sure.
He shoves him. I mean, you know.
I thought, no, but I'm saying I thought they would buzz down.
Yeah.
But no, on the fumble, right? Yeah.
Yep. Because it took forever, too. They went to break, and I was like, oh, they're going to come back, and they're in the booth or something. Yeah.
No, man, we got to let some people play football. It's weird to watch the contrast. I watched a ton of NFL yesterday, as did you. Mm-hmm. To watch the contrast between what happens in college and pro football in terms of that particular rule in the implementation of, or the enforcement of, I should say, of that rule. In pro football, the refs understand this is a game played at warp speed by giant individuals who defy logic physically, and we understand angles and guys adjusting to a football in the air, and we get intent, and we get that, hey, the reason they're wearing helmets is there's a good chance that they're going to collide in a way that if they weren't, they'd die. So we get it. We understand.
Yeah, I was having kind of a night sweats of a moment when I was watching. Thankfully, the place I was at, friend of ours, had three televisions yesterday, and on the big screen was the Vikings, because maybe that was, you know, the team of choice.
Tough loss.
Well, the Vikings had double-digit penalties in the first half with another five declined, and I'm just like, oh, I can't do this. I've got to focus on another screen. I can't live this again, because for 4 hours on Saturday night, Gary Patterson, not the TCU coach, that's the dude's name, every play. You couldn't have a play.
No.
And then Jacksonville State, I don't know how they fielded a team by the end of the game. They had like 24 injury timeouts. I guess they were all legitimate. But every time the ACC Network's like, all right, let's play this ID fraud commercial and then give you the loop of the ACC Network will be back shortly thing for 3 hours. Oh, yeah, yay.
Yeah, it was, everybody was desperate to look away. The product was ugly. Let's just look away. Give me something else.
I told Gene, I was like, man, I grew up a Knoll, then I came here, and now I cover it. So on three levels, I was invested in that game. Maybe, you know, as a businessman here in town as well, a lot of people invested in this game. It was hard to watch, even though I'm paid to do it, and I love that team.
Hey, by the
it's
way,
hard to watch.
If Florida State had won the game 20-7, 17-7, whatever, okay, they just won the game, we would still be sitting here saying that was an unwatchable game. That really was, both because both teams aren't very good, and Florida State played horribly, especially on offense. Secondly, those officials were hell-bent on throwing flags every chance they could. That also made it unwatchable. Just the product was disgusting. So it adds to the ledger of reasons that you're disgusted by a performance that's unforgivable.
And then you've got announcers who don't know players' names and yucking it up. I'm like, thanks, Wes. I'm glad you brought the book of dad jokes with you instead of, you know, knowing the roster. But whatever.
I've had a chance to go back and watch a lot of other games, and that includes the Miami narrow escape over Appalachian State. If we're looking around the ACC, Virginia lays it to Illinois, 42-14. Imagine you're a Nebraska fan right about now after that. I mean, we are akin. I mean, it's amazing. It's hard to fathom the similarities. Now,
yeah,
different
right.
times in terms of investment and tenure, but God dog it. It is remarkable.
Now, here's Charlie. He's chosen a different path. This path includes success, victories, winning.
Oh, man. I'm going to, and we'll have time, you know, over the coming days, but I'm going to tell you why I think, and we'll do it more tomorrow than we do today, because today is dedicated, this one time dedicated.
One more.
To this unwatchable affair and gruesome defeat. But tomorrow I will start to lay out the reasons I think that Florida State beats Wake.
You know, Gene used a picture that Joe Bucks fan would be very happy about in describing the game. He said there was something on the field, you know? And unfortunately, in this situation, this is so different to me than previous games that are like this in the last handful of years. Be a broken record about it. But I feel like the players were ready to go more than the coaches were. That wasn't the case the last few times this happened. You're like, oh, nobody's ready. So nobody's ready to play this game. Mm-hmm. Great. That's awesome. Syracuse, ULM, Stanford. In this case, the defense was ready to go. The offense was inconsistent, but it didn't look like they were ill-prepared. The game plan was just like, whoa, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, I would say the game plan counts in being ill-prepared. They were doing a lot of cheeky things for no reason. I mean, the reason is that you want Wake to have to prepare for more things, but you have to go secure the win first. You have to go out there and dominate the game and then start to experiment with some things. So they failed the kids in that regard.
But player investment-wise, they didn't care to be here
tonight.
Yeah,
they weren't lacking effort. That's correct. They weren't lacking effort. We would have pointed that out pretty quickly. And they certainly weren't lacking effort. What sucks for Fuller, which, by the way, I get totally ripping him today, if in fact that's the call at the end especially, but he undoes the good from most of the game. The offense hung the defense out to dry all night long.
That's the name of this game, the great undoing.
It's unreal.
If it ends up being...
If it's 17-7 and you win the game because your offense screwed around all night experimenting with things and getting behind the chains because of stupid penalties, then you say, okay, well, listen, this is 2 weeks in a row. Adams kind of had them ready to play here. Look, they could have made some plays in the secondary last week against Notre Dame, no doubt, but they completely shut down that run game. And in this game, you know, this is they're dominating the offensive line of Jacksonville State. Now, they should. You know, it's not an overwhelming thing to do, but they did. They dominated that team. And then the last two drives of the game are one of them's 97 yards, and the other one is 80-something yards, and the final play is the final play. You just undid everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, and we have been marked by a defensive line with a lot of players who wouldn't show up week in and week out.
That's what last year was about.
In this circumstance, you saw the consistency, so you'd be happy with that, and it should be the talking point about the defense, what you're talking about, which is largely this is improved. Instead, now you pair two plays from Saturday night, this most recent game, the second to last one, in which Mike Norvell confirmed today on the record that somebody was wide the hell open. The quarterback didn't see it.
They beat him on an inside release. That's why they were buoyed about the last play, because they could see that Florida State didn't know what they were doing.
The final play call, of course. And then you combine that with 3rd-and-17 last week, and you call an all-out against an obvious screen and draw situation, and now you're focusing on those things.
It's going to hurt your case.
A lot.
Well, and people were suspect to begin with, understandably, because they weren't coordinated a year ago. So it's two fingers to two fingers, man. That's over and over again.
It's like your approval rating was like 5. You've worked it all the way back up into the 40s, and then you do a hit on a cable news channel, and there's a swastika in the background. You know? Like, oh,
great. What's that?
Great.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
All right, we're done here. Oh, Ira Shaffel, warchant.com, going to join us next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tom, did you, because I know that we were all in need of some schadenfreude, did you at least take solace in the fact that Djokovic got beaten straight sets?
I couldn't believe it. We were talking yesterday. You said he's down 2 sets, and I think it was 3-0 in the third.
Yeah, he was on his way out, yeah.
But I'd seen that song and dance so much over the last 5 years where he'll battle back, and like something changes and goes his way, and for the next hour and a half, he outclasses the opponent and wins. So I wasn't comfortable calling it over when we spoke. And once I saw, in fact, that it was straight sets, good. Hope it's the last time he makes a final. That'd be great.
The chances that that's the last final he makes are pretty slim. And
I understand.
He's going to make a lot more, man. He's good.
You know, I was complaining about some of the circumstances on the drive over to our friends yesterday, and I had a realization, maybe with the help of my lovely wife. In the last 12 months, my professional teams have hoisted 3 world championships.
Right, so you can't, yeah.
So I've got to put that down. As we were going to watch the Vikings play, you know, I got to put that down for a little bit.
You were going to watch the Vikings play and lose to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And, I thought of all those whose teams didn't get a win in week one, like the Bucks did get a win in week one. And you know, my buddy, Matt, Chicago Bears, get pummeled last night.
Oh, man.
His wife.
Stafford looks sharp.
Yeah. Well, the Rams are the problem.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for a while. The Rams are the problem.
That's week 3. So we play the Falcons this week, and then we go out to play the Rams in 2 weeks to the Bucs.
Tough day at the office for your Atlanta Falcons, everybody. My goodness gracious. They got their ass beat by Philadelphia.
Jalen Hurts looked like an MVP.
He looked like a very good quarterback in that moment in time.
Yeah. That throw to Devonta Smith was a nice little throw.
You know what wasn't nice? I just can't understand how it happened this way, but they come right out the gates, throwing the ball around the lot. Does Atlanta driving right down the field with 2 drives, and they come away with a couple field goals, and that'll hurt your feelings. You got to do better than that. And, you know, obviously I'm speaking from a man who had certain players like Calvin Ridley.
See. That didn't make sense otherwise, given, you know.
Calvin Ridley has 3 receptions on the first drive for 39 yards. He finishes with 5 for like 50. What are we doing in Atlanta? Sucking. That's what we're doing in Atlanta. That's unbelievable. Come on, fellas. Now, I'm not a Falcons fan, but geez.
And Washington's defense, I noticed, kept them in the ball game, even though old man Fitz is hurt.
Yeah.
But Heinicke comes in, and that defense is so good, you can hold a 3-point lead late with holding Justin Herbert to 13 points.
Yeah, except for that Justin Herbert final drive is like 15 plays or 12 plays.
It's
sweet.
That's what you should do, though, in a situation where that offense has nothing. At some point, you've got to outlast him, but I'm just so impressed by that football team defense.
I'm also thinking about the only other defensive coordinator who might be under more pressure than Adam Fuller here in Tallahassee, and that would be there at Ohio State, because the evidence that Jeff Hafley did a much better job while at Ohio State, now head coach of Boston College, than the situation they find themselves in now. I mean, that is, woo! They were ordinary last year on defense, and now they look like they're just playing bad.
Straight bad. Just awful.
But if you're Kerry Coombs, I mean, hello? That is, what are we doing here?
Oh, the phone lines are lighting up in Columbus today,
buddy.
About that guy.
Yeah, they are. That is, very quietly, the program that impressed me the most over the weekend besides Oregon was, in fact, Arkansas just laying the wood to Texas. That was a big win for a program that hasn't had a big win in an awful long time, so. And that place was packed. They hadn't sold out a game in 4 years, so I can only imagine the energy there. It would have been a kind of a fun game to see. But, yeah, this is just a look around, just a wrap around there. Let's bring our buddy in, Irashfel, warchant.com. If you missed it last night, Sunday Smash, myself, Ira, and a interactive show on Warchant TV. So we'll do that every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. I got to believe, and I hope, certainly I do, Ira, that next Sunday, a more jovial effort from us, a more relaxed, fun effort in which we smile and talk a little bit more about something positive. Only if, of course, this team can find a way to get off the mat and win a game. You there, buddy? All right. I've lost him.
Sounds like he's there in the background. I will attempt it once again.
It sounded like there was a dog very upset with what was happening around him, and Ira is scurrying to get right. Let's go. We'll try this again. Yeah, now we'll do it. Now we'll do it. Ira, you there, buddy?
I'm here.
Okay, boom. Gotcha. So what do you think? Next Sunday night on the Smash, we're talking about the big win, the first win of the year. Knowles riding the ship after as disastrous a loss as we've seen in a long time.
I wouldn't put money on it, but I wouldn't rule it out either. I mean, it's a big week. I mean, this is a—I really think it's a huge week to see how they respond. And you know, even if they play well, there's no guarantee they're going to win the football game.
Correct.
It's not a game where you just say, "Okay, Florida State's focused and wants to be there." This isn't one of those years. But I mean, so to me, the gauge is more: how do they play? What do they look like? Just kind of like what it was going into Notre Dame again, but. It wouldn't shock me if they won it, but I wouldn't put money on it.
It's kind of important that they find a way to go win a game, though. I mean, it's at this point, you know, there's a lot of good that was undone with what we saw Saturday night. What did you make, and I'll go straight to it, your thoughts if on a scale, if you will. Let's use the Jimbo press conference post NC State after that most unforgivable loss and his reaction and answers that we were all there for that press conference where we thought, oh, my goodness, we're just going to go ahead and blame this all on the players. To what we saw today, what were your thoughts on what Mike Norvell had to say today?
I thought the message was fine. You know, for the most part, he certainly was not going to admit, you know, real mistakes in terms of game plan or in terms of strategy or in terms of decisions during the game. I mean, he said that, you know, he basically defended the decision on the fourth down, the last pass. Felt like that was the defense that they wanted to be in that moment. I mean, kind of intimated, you could read between the lines that maybe he'd like to have it to do over again, but never came out and said that. Really defended kind of the handling of the quarterbacks and what they did there. And then they've since, you know, the depth chart's come out and Mackenzie Milton's the clear starter. It's not even an or anymore. So they're basically, you know, Mackenzie Milton's the guy for now. So kind of defended that. And then as far as the running backs, wouldn't even admit that, you know, that Trayshawn Ward and Jayshon Corbin should have got more touches in the fourth quarter. You know, he and Kenny Dillingham both talked about how talented Lawrence Tofiel is and how much they believe in him. So there was nothing in a sense of, hey, you know, we looking back, we would have changed this or that. So that, you know, is probably going to irritate some people because I think sometimes people want a pound of flesh. Mm. But at the same time, you know, I think the overall message that he gave to us was, I think, the same message, you know, he's probably given to the team, that, you know, this wasn't a situation where what we're doing is wrong and we need to scrap everything and start over. It's, we've got to play better in the moment. He did say the coaches have to make sure, basically said the coaches have to make sure they're putting the kids in the best positions to succeed. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, you know, execution and details and fundamentals, which, you know, a lot of coaches will say.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't going to roll as defensive coordinator in the press conference. There's no way he thinks they were in the right defense, but he's not going to say that. No coach really does. I understand that. I can't believe he thinks that was okay. It seems to me there was a miscommunication there. I don't know that for sure, though. We're not on the headset. Secondarily, I'd ask you, they did it appears the right thing finally. They're done with Dante Lucas. You mentioned the depth chart. He's not on it anywhere.
Yeah, he's not only not on it, but he's no longer part of the program.
Right, right.
We've since found that out. And, you know, look, I mean, I think that's been a 3 or 4 year constant kind of a situation where, you know, Dante Lucas is you know, a talented guy, but they've had issues throughout his 3 or 4 years in terms of just, you know, being accountable, being dependable, doing what he's supposed to be doing. And there's been some close calls in the last couple of years. And I know for a fact that there were some people around the program who thought his time here should have been done maybe a year ago. But he's apparently a likable kid. A lot of people kind of have supported him and pushed for him to get as many chances as possible. And we don't know what happened between Saturday night and today, but my guess is, you know, Mike Norvell talked in the postgame press conference about holding players accountable for penalties, and Dante had 3 of them in that game, which is 3 penalties is a season's worth for an offensive lineman. It can't happen in one game. And so I'm sure in the fallout of that or discussions about, you know, punishment for that, maybe that's when everybody decided to move forward. So it's a big loss, though, from a personnel standpoint, though, because, you know, they don't have an abundance of talented offensive linemen, and he didn't always play like it, but he had the material to work with, even though it didn't always show up on the field.
I know it didn't come up in the press conference today, or at least I didn't hear it. I thought it was interesting on the sidelines. Ira, I know you're my resident sideline watcher, and I'm sure you saw it. There was, at times, real tension between Mike Norvell and Jordan Travis in a moment in which he huddled the two quarterbacks together. Did you see it that way? Did you happen to observe that? And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it, and but it's so hard. That was one, to me, it's really hard to tell, because those moments when players are coming off the sideline and coaches are talking to them, and sometimes the conversation goes longer than the player wants it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the player starts walking away. And there was a moment later in the game where McKenzie came off after a bad series. And I thought, you know, Norvell was talking to him and McKenzie started to walk away. And, you know, so it's hard to get too carried away with assumptions based on that. But, I mean, I'm sure Jordan's not thrilled right now. The fact is he's not only gone from starting the first game to then playing some of the second game, and then now he's no longer listed as the or of Mackenzie Milton. So that's going to, you know, that relationship has been something that we all thought might be interesting when Mackenzie Milton transferred in. They've done a good job since he's been here about those guys being on the same page. But, you know, it's certainly something to watch going forward.
I know the result is shocking, and I know that that's all we see right now is that the ending of that game, how sloppy that game was, how ill-prepared that team looked. But I want to ask your opinion. Were you as shocked by the overall effort and the, I think, the unpreparedness to some degree of the team this week? Do you think that this was more, and this is just an opinion question, do you think this was more a failure of having your finger on the pulse of the team as a coaching staff than it was execution? Obviously, they didn't execute, but I think it starts with what they did that week in practice. I think they really miscalculated what they could get away with in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, that you have to point to that. I mean, there's a reason they were not very focused. I mean, and when you say they weren't focused, I cannot say that they didn't play with effort.
Right, right. I agree with that.
Norvell said that today as well. But what are focus penalties or focus mistakes? Penalties? Well, they had a ton of them. Guys getting lined up incorrectly. They had that. They had guys not getting out on the field on time during substitutions.
Drops too. Yeah.
You have drop passes, and you have lack of awareness after a catch on the winning play. I mean, so definitely focus was a concern. And ultimately, that's on the coaching staff. And I don't know that there was anything. The 2 days we were out there practice, it wasn't like I saw anything that said, these guys aren't going to be focused. I mean, it seemed like they were doing what they normally do. I don't know if it was maybe in the pregame meetings. I don't know if it was the day of, if it was the actual gameplay they installed and some of the tricks they, the two quarterback stuff and some of that. We can make all of our theories we want. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is the team was not focused. And if they had been, they beat that team by two or three touchdowns, even if they don't play well, and they didn't.
I'm curious if you think I asked it sort of at the beginning of our conversation here. Do you think they will go play well in this game against Wake Forest, 3:30?
I do. I mean, I really do. I mean, there hasn't been anything that I've seen over the last, we've seen most of the spring practices. We've seen all these preseason practices. I haven't seen anything that makes me think, well, this team's teetering on the edge. But then when something like that happens, you have to wonder. And now you've had an offensive lineman leave the team. And Dante Lucas. So it's something certainly to watch. And if they come out and do not respond well, I mean, that's a really bad sign. And it just shows how much Mike Norvell and his staff have to do to get this team on track. But I do think they're going to play well. I haven't seen anything that suggests it won't. But, as much as anything else, I mean, that's what we're going to be looking for in this game.
I suspect they play well, too. That's interesting. All right, Ira, always appreciate it. Be well, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff. See you, man.
All right, take care. Yeah, I mean, we've kind of vetted this game as much as you possibly can. Obviously, a lot of things went wrong for you to lose to Jacksonville State. And at the end of the day, whatever the reason, and everybody's got a theory, it's on the head coach to have a team ready to play and to execute better than they did. And if they don't, and they lose like this, and they lose in that manner, shocking as it may be, it's hard to know how the players will respond to that. I tend to agree that... I tend to agree that they'll rally and play well. And they may not be good enough, and that's the thing that you wonder about. I mean, they're not an overwhelmingly talented team. There's no doubt about that, and they are lacking in some areas. So we'll see if they even just playing hard and being focused and even playing angry is enough to go and get a win. I mean, the program is really in the doldrums. It's really in a place where even if they execute and play well, it's no guarantee that you beat the middling teams of the ACC.
Perhaps it's something for the next segment. You tell me. But is it noteworthy to you that there is no or next to Jordan Travis' name, and it's Mackenzie Milton as the starter?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I thought going into the season that if Mackenzie Milton were healthy and he could practice and be available to be there for install and to rep what they're going to run and do those things, that he would be the starting quarterback. I didn't think they brought him in here to sit. I didn't think he came here to sit. But because preseason camp was really more a question of availability than anything else, you began to wonder, well, maybe physically, again, what he went through was traumatic for his body. That's an understatement, to say the least, when you nearly lose your leg. I began to wonder, well, maybe it just can't happen, unfortunately, and that would derail the dream. And that's unfortunate because you're rooting for anybody who puts in the kind of time, effort, and dreams big to come back and start at a program like this and at a place in a Power 5 conference, period. I began to wonder. But, yeah, if he's getting stronger and if that foot's bothering him less, yeah, they Jordan is a wildly inconsistent thrower of the football. He hasn't shown the ability to play in and play out, series in and series out, throw the ball from the pocket in rhythm on time. And I think they desire to do that. I think they think that opens more things up for them in a lot of ways. Now, there are people who would argue against that, would tell you that this offensive line can't block that up, and you're going to need a runner.
It's at least noteworthy to me because they went through all sorts of gyrations, proverbially speaking, of course, in preseason about, well, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be, and we wanted to get this work in for these guys, and, you know, it's deload management days, and the cloak and dagger nature of who is going to be the guy for Notre Dame. You could continue that, but instead they chose to outright declare it, at least on a piece of paper. Not at a press conference, but on a piece of paper, that there is no or anymore. I mean, if you told me that 3 weeks ago when we were in the throes of camp and there was debates about how much can be reported on,
yeah,
that's kind of a big deal.
I just think it means that perhaps McKenzie's getting healthier. And, you know, that's ultimately what it says to me, because neither played all that well in this game. McKenzie was also snake bit by the fact that his guys can't catch. And that group really failed him miserably. Some of those numbers would have looked a lot better. He has an easy touchdown, a long one at that. But we have two other big drops in the game, including from Wilson, a tight end, which that's a big play. I'm going to need you to catch the damn ball. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, he's fumbling it before he gets hit. He's fumbling the ball around.
Yeah, I mean, catch the damn ball. It's just the whole thing was a nightmare. If you're suffering from storm damage, T-Spark knows how to work with the insurance companies and help navigate the insurance process to help put your home back to pre-claim condition. Wind damage, missing shingles, make sure you call T-Spark Roofing and Construction to inspect your roof. They'll work with you, they'll work with the insurance companies, and they'll make it happen. If a tree lands on your roof and there's structural damage, a roofer can't always repair that because it's structural. But with T-Spark, it's one call because you have a general contractor and roofer as well. T-Spark Roofing and Construction, one-stop shop, baby. I use them. Tom uses them. You should, too, if you're in need. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Little bit of a long.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, we chopped everything else at the old place.
That's the thing about Spotify. That's killing me. It's killing me. We chop all these things, and so you don't have to worry about it ever again. And I play the track.
That's what you get, buddy.
It's a good album, but nobody wants to hear that right now.
By the way, I was just thinking about the games, the matchups for this weekend that are exciting. I was going through all the interesting games that we'll have a chance to talk about as the week unfolds. But it reminds me, the Pac-12 does, of the ACC a few years back, where you had about three teams at the top that you're like, well, those can compete with anybody. But the rest of the league was just horrific. So, you know, you see Washington that's now 0-2 with a loss to an FCS team and get blown out by Michigan there. And that's not good. Stanford crushes Southern Cal, which where in the world? Stanford hadn't scored 48 points in like the last 20 weeks. And they do that on USC, which is, that's a toughie, Mr. Helton. That's a toughie.
Oh, I posted this, but my brother-in-law grew up a diehard USC fan. He grew up in Newport Beach, and he's a Florida State Seminole first because he came here for college. And usually when they play primetime games, he DVRs them. So yesterday was an experience back-to-back. I wonder when he gave up on, because he might have watched the USC game first.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, you know what? Let's just flip over to the FSU game. What is this?
Yeah, had to be tough.
My Sunday is terrible.
But then, on the other hand, so far this year, of course, you have UCLA beating LSU soundly. And you now have Oregon going on the road and beating Ohio State. So they're like, well, got a couple at the top, and Arizona State's look good in their two games, so we'll see.
When you mentioned Auburn and Penn State earlier, I thought, you know, that's interesting now because we have relative conference strength arguments, and they're legitimate. You could argue these things now about, like, who is actually the deeper, stronger conference, and if it's a mid-level game, nobody's picking Penn State to go to the playoff right now, or Auburn for that matter, but when you're trying to move the chess pieces on the board and say who's the strongest, it's in doubt a little bit more this year. That's cool. I like that.
It is. I'm going to watch that Penn State-Auburn game. I think it'll be a lot of fun. It will be after, of course, Florida State's win over Wake Forest and the opportunity to be in a good mood as you sit down for 7:30.
You said that so casually. I was just nodding like, okay, wait, what did he say? You're just okay, you're calling for it, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I'm going to bet.
It's going to be a good weekend is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm going to bet that we're not in a defense late in a close game and the other team is in a desperate position, you know, needing a gift from the gods, and we're not going to decide to have five players underneath in order to take away the mid-range pass. We're gonna know that the intermediate pass is not what we're trying to defend here, but rather something that is a little bit deeper.
So you're going to bet that we're not in that situation?
I'm going to bet that we're not in that situation.
Okay.
I'm curious.
Because we're comfortably ahead? Because you could be up a score and you're in a similar situation. So okay.
I don't know if our nerves can handle. Can you imagine if this thing is it's a 6-point lead and Wake has the ball at the 50?
It's an interesting answer, but yeah.
I like Florida State this week.
Okay,
I liked them immediately following the disaster on Saturday night. It doesn't do any good. I get the fact that so what? I liked them. Hundreds of our fans will say, I don't. You're nuts. Okay, great. We'll watch the game. We'll all watch the game together. It's fun. I do think they'll play hard. I do think they are more together than people think right now.
Okay, so then you believe that the culture and the change in the culture can withstand losing to an FCS team.
It's the biggest question mark that has to be answered this Saturday. Yes. When he made the comments that he did, that he likes this team's culture, heart, dedication, and he believes in what they teach and what they're doing, and he believes in them, I agree with that. Now,
I do too. This is quite the natural disaster to throw
it's unbelievable
to throw the seafaring town.
It's unbelievable what they just did. It's unbelievable. They just incinerated whatever hope and belief people had in them. Yes.
You're talking about 1% incremental improvements, consistency.
Right. Yeah, no, it was absolutely asinine, self-inflicted nonsense that this staff just put upon these players in a way that defies all logic. Really does. We'll come back, wrap it up momentarily. Jeff Cambridge at 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Rapid fire, we got to get to it quickly, if you will. It is time to give you the probables. North Florida Payroll Services sponsored this segment, locally owned for nearly 15 years, offering payroll and HR services, including full online applicant onboarding and integration into payroll. Save your company money and headaches today. Head to NorthFloridaPayroll.com.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
Your Mets got the big win over the Yanks.
Yeah.
Twins, Yankees, 5-0 Minnesota. Currently, the Yankees are falling off a cliff.
The Mets challenged them because apparently the Yankees were whistling to tip off pitches over the weekend.
Yep.
Lindor didn't have any of it.
No, he hit three bombs.
He was whistling at the Yankees as he was rounding the bases.
Which is awesome.
And then
pitches cleared. I saw when Stanton tied it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's get it on.
That's nice.
John Gant, Luis Gill, the starters in that game between the Twins and the Yanks currently. Marlins, Nats. Sandy Alcantara, Pablo Espino. Not bad. Rays, Blue Jays, Colin McHugh, Alec Manoa. We got the Cardinals and the Mets. Adam Wainwright, Rich Hill. Stros, Rangers, Jake Odorizzi, Spencer Howard. Padres, Giants, Yu Darvish, Dominic Leone. D-backs, Dodgers, Zach Gallen, Clayton Kershaw. Red Sox, Mariners, Eduardo Rodriguez, Logan Gilbert. And that is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. All in all, I don't know. Yesterday was an interesting day in the NFL. I didn't love it, didn't hate it. It was good to have it back.
The 1 o'clock window was less than inspiring.
That is correct.
Yeah. The 4 o'clock window was much better. And then we had the smash on for the finish of that window.
Fitzmagic out for a number of weeks with a hip injury. Not good.
Thought it was going to be an arm or shoulder injury the way he landed because he braced himself.
It was weird. Okuda for the Lions out for the season with a ruptured Achilles. That's problematic. They almost had one of the greatest comebacks in the history of football, at least in the NFL. Interesting. The Saints have agreed with Mr. Lattimore on a huge deal. So he's locked up now. And
Jameis threw for like 50 yards and 5 touchdowns. That was
148, I think it was,
yeah,
and
I know,
5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Looked really good. Looked just at ease, comfortable. Saints will be interesting. They'll be able to throw the forward pass again, Tom. It's so amazing that they have somebody that can throw the ball beyond 10 yards.
That means you've got some things to prepare for. And given that the Bucs are dinged up in the secondary and they didn't look great to begin with, okay, all right. They've got a flaw.
Yeah, but you're not going to run. You're not going to run on Tampa Bay.
Correct, and we'll see how good the Cowboys' tackles are because they held up quite well.
And the right tackle's now gone, so that's a problem. That's just they're dropping like flies, those tackles. So
Giants and football team on Thursday is kind of a steaming pile game, but I'm interested in it.
Well, I'm going to watch it.
Because you have a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm watching, buddy. Yeah. My guess is Heineke doesn't look like Montana like he did against us in the out of nowhere game.
Highest graded quarterback in the league that weekend.
That's the craziest thing ever. Good work out of you. Good work, Matthew. Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. Be well. Deep breaths. Breathe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.